Time for Message in the Bottle, our weekly conversation about wine and more. Eric Meehan from Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street, Bangor, right between Fiddlehead Restaurant and Brahma Grill, joining us here in the studio. Hello, Mr. Meehan.
Hello. Hello.
Welcome, you know, in.
I was watching Russillo and Cannell earlier with some sort of feelings of envy because I see them. Their microphones are very mobile. Every time I try to, this thing is like, I've got to sit up very straight, which will help my resonance,
well,
I suppose.
Mine, I get, you know, whatever the opposite of ED is, this microphone just rises.
Just rises.
Well, I can't reach it.
It helps your posture.
That's it, yes.
So, hi, everyone. I'm sorry I missed last week. I had an unfortunate family event that I had to go, well, whatever. It wasn't unfortunate, but a family funeral for a gentleman who had lived a long and happy life, and so I had to miss last week. I'm sorry about that. So we're going to bump everything around a little bit, and we're going to talk about something that we haven't talked about for a year today, which is sort of my primer on how to taste wine, and we're going to be launching into all the next 6 months of you know, the ins and outs of the wine industry. So I wanted to kind of get this primer up, and then I do want to mention, and I'll re-mention at the end of the segment, that on Thursday, we're going back to Thursdays, your chance to meet the winemaker and owner of Savage Oaks Winery here in Maine. And his name is Elmer Savage. He does it all from, you know, growing the grapes, making the wine. So come on in and check that out, 5 to 7 on Thursday. And we'll be tasting one of his wines here next week and talking about that. But yeah, one of the biggest things that I talk about to all sorts of folks and always start off all my Wine 101 classes with is how to taste wine. And we do get away from it every now and then, including myself. I don't really take the time and pay attention, except when I'm in a professional setting. But I do kind of want to talk about what professionals do when we taste wine. And so I'm going to start with the classic, why I think tasting wine, in quotes, is kind of a silly misnomer, because it's one of the last things you do in encountering a wine for the first time, and also one of the sort of lesser impactful senses when you're experiencing wine. So we'll talk more about, as I said, experiencing wine rather than tasting wine. The first way we all judge really anything is with not our tongue, or I mean maybe depending on who you are, if you're a dog, or not, you know, and not and and you know, sometimes with our ears. For instance, if my children are running around like crazy people, and you'll hear them before you see them, but really, the first way most of us experience things is with our eyes and through sight. And that is indeed the first way you're going to experience wine. So for that reason, I always talk to people about, you know, try to use a clear glass. Try to use a glass that you can, you know, really see the wine. This is going to help you, you know, in determining whether or not it's a wine you really want to put in your mouth, for instance, among other things. And then I also, though here in the radio station, because of all the expensive equipment I bring, stemless, unbreakable glasses, I do try to get folks to also use a stemmed glass so that you can more easily tilt the glass and get a nice look at the wine in there. Some things to remember, most youthful wine, most of the wine that you're going to drink, including the wine that we're going to sample today, the Pinot Noir that we're going to sample, is going to be fairly consistent in its hue. Wines, as they age, do tend to go to a yellow or a brick in the case of red. But more, you know, brown on the edges. So if you're drinking a young wine and you're seeing that there's like brown on the edges or a very, very deep yellow for a white wine, there might be a problem with that. It might be oxidized or might have some flaws. So that's a good way that your eyes can kind of clue you in onto, you know, maybe some good or bad variances in the wine that you're about to experience. Now, of course, the most important part of tasting, experiencing, comes really through your schnoz, and this is where I kind of want to talk to people about why we swirl and that what's going on there. What are we doing that whole time? Well, when you're swirling, you're engaging the little chemical compounds in wine called esters, and they're engaging with the oxygen that they're being swirled around, and they're getting all happy, and those esters are what hit your olfactory nerves and tell them, oh, you're smelling, you know, grandma's apple pie, or you're smelling cherry, or you're smelling, you know, wet forest floor, or any of these. And what I love about that is because it's so evocative and it's so personal that no one's really wrong. When you're smelling a wine and you're smelling, you know, strawberry rhubarb pie, you're right, because that to you is what strawberry rhubarb pie smells like. Now, hopefully your experience with the wine that you're smelling is positive and it doesn't smell bad to you. but even a wine that has some, you know, more interesting aromas, we'll put it that way, might be a really, really good wine. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's bad. It might mean that it's a wine that's made in a certain way that gives it these interesting aromas, and you might then check the history of that wine and wonder why it does smell like that. Classic example, Marlborough Sauvignon Blanc. So Marlborough in New Zealand, we tried some on the air a couple weeks ago when we were talking about New Zealand, has a very distinctive, very gooseberry, grapefruity nose. Some people have described it in slightly less glowing terms as cat piss. But, you know, it's a thing, and it's a thing for a reason. And if you kind of search beyond the cat piss, perhaps you can smell ripe peach and pineapple and things like that. But it's very, you know, it's like I said, it's very evocative, and you're never wrong. You know, when I'm asking, you know, my staff or customers what they think, you know, I'm always curious to see what they come up with. So that's why we swirl, and that's why we have these nice glasses that, you know, curve in and really trap the aromas in there. Notice how it's odors when it's bad and aromas when it's nice.
Now, if you're let's say you're in a restaurant and you order a wine, do you expectorate?
Do I expectorate? Never in public. Not in a restaurant, certainly. You know, what's interesting in a restaurant setting, just in general, when you're tasting a wine, when you order a wine, the server brings it over to you, presents you with the cork, and then also with a little taste, as it were. Yeah, that's what you're expected to do is... You're not there to smell cork necessarily. You're there to smell if the cork smells off. It might smell, as my wife put it, like a bilge in a boat. But if it smells kind of off, that might be an example of trichloroanisole, TCA, which is a very common thing that causes what we call corkage, is the, you know, the common vernacular of it. And that, or smelling that wine, swirling it around, might really, if it doesn't smell right, or if it definitely smells wrong, that's a good time to suggest to the server, perhaps this bottle is not right. May I try another one or something like that? So, yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah, definitely as much as you can. And you know, restaurants are the perfect setting because usually they actually have some very nice glassware. And so you can really, you know, get into the glass of wine that you're using. And, of course, the last part of tasting is actually tasting. And after you've smelled, I encourage people to, you know, keep inhaling and keep smelling while you taste the wine as well. Of course, you know, if you consider a sort of a cutaway of the human head, you'll see that, you know, you have air passages coming from your nose, you know, back to the back of your throat. So the aromas are going to keep going up there and engaging with your olfactory nerves. And of course, your tongue is going to be telling you, you know, this is salty, this is sweet, you know, the varieties of that. But your tongue can tell you much, much less than your nose. So that's why I really admonish people, you know, smell, smell, smell. You know, we're Americans. We were raised on, you know, Pepsi and stuff like this, which has really no smell. And I've always been a firm believer that people would probably drink a lot less soft drinks and weird stuff like that are just kind of caramel and soda water and sugar water if they actually tried to smell it and realized there's really not much of a smell to that. Whereas when you're smelling, you know, fruit juice, or in this case, fermented fruit juice, you're really going to get a lot off of it. And that's because it's an agricultural product. It's a real living, breathing thing. The wine we're trying today on air is Zorzal. So this is from Argentina. This is their sort of second level, the Grand Terroir Pinot Noir. Really lovely. And, you know, as we look at it and experience it, just like we were talking about, I mean, it's a beautiful, consistent color, very dark. It looks like it's going to be, you know, dark cherry juice or something like that. And indeed, the nose is very, you know, cherry and a slightly sort of cherry coke, which is found in a lot of New World Pinot Noirs. Really beautiful wine that sells for, you know, $13. So it's a highly affordable Pinot Noir as well. But just absolutely gorgeous and nice for a night like this, which is, gosh, it's almost balmy. It's really light red wine weather for Maine in the middle of January. Although I must say, last week in New Jersey, it was 70 degrees and I was in a t-shirt. So wow. It was insane. But yeah, so there we have it. Really quick primer on how to taste wine. We'll revisit it as we go along. But remember, swirl, swirl, swirl. Engage the esters. Taste. You're never wrong. And then this Thursday, come to Bangor Wine and Cheese. Meet Elmer Savage. Taste his wines and learning about wine in your own backyard. And we'll be here next Tuesday.
Thanks, Eric.
Cheers.
Message in the Bottle, Tuesday afternoons here on Downtown, brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, Hammond Street in downtown Bangor.